Hi, my name is MJ Kelly.
And I'm Aiden Cox.
And welcome to On Your Left.
Today's episode, Being Asian in the American South.
With Lexi Paul. Okay, now Lexi, first of all, I want to thank you so much for coming on today. It means a lot to us.
Thank you guys for having me.
Of course. And we're going to start out with a few interview questions, okay?
Okay,
so first of all, tell me a bit about yourself.
So I'm not actually from the South, if I'm being honest. I'm actually from California, from the Bay Area. And so I moved to Texas for a job opportunity for my dad when I was in the sixth grade. So I started sixth grade in Texas. So that's kind of rough, you know, for any fifth grader. Oh, going into middle school, you know, at 11 years old, knowing nobody. So that was, you know, my experience when I first moved to Texas. Keep in mind that the areas I lived in California were very diverse. There were people from all colors, all backgrounds. And so it was normal. Like, I never saw that as a bad thing. I thought like that was the coolest thing ever. Like, not everybody is from here. Like, everybody has, you know, their own unique culture, their own personality, that what makes them special. So I had friends, you know, who are Black, Hispanic, other types of Asian, stuff like that. And so when I moved out here to Texas, I experienced my first like ever racism at 11 years old. And it was from people I went to school with. So, and it was other 11 year olds or 12 year olds, because I was in the sixth grade. And I would just, you know, be minding my business in math class, and people would come up to me and be like, can you do my homework for me? And I say, why? And they look at me dead in the eye and they say, well, you're Asian, so you must be smart enough to do it. I'm just, you know, sitting there and I'm like, what the heck? Why are you people pointing that out? It's obvious and evident. I know that I'm Asian. But it got even worse when people started to assume my identity even more. People would come up to me and say, oh, you're Chinese, so you must eat dog. Or where's your made in China sticker? And stuff like that. So that's just kind of my experience and what I went through growing up, I guess, in America South. It's been rough. There have been some true friends of mine, you know, who don't stand by that. And then there have other, I've had other friends who are like, will make fun of me for it. And it's just a really hard process I've dealt with. And I, if I'm being honest, to this day, still don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah. And I'm sorry that you've had to go through that. That's obviously hard for anybody, regardless of their age, but especially for someone so young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you mind telling us about a few of your political stances?
I support BLM. I'm pro-choice. Honestly, I'm pretty like moderately liberal, a little democratic. Also, just because I think part of it plays into the fact that I'm from California and that is a very liberal democratic state.
Yeah.
So I guess that plays into a huge factor. But, you know, I'm all about equality and love other people, kindness, you know.
Awesome.
Yeah. And you touched a little bit on this, but would you mind expanding? Do these conflict with your family or friends' beliefs?
Yes. So my dad is a huge, like, anti-masker, like.
So how do you handle that discontinuity between your beliefs and your family's beliefs?
I get really heated, if I'm being honest. And
reasonable.
My dad points out to me a lot, and so does my mom. And my mom just says, like, you know, you just got to ignore it. It's just really hard. I don't know how else to deal with it, if I'm being honest. I just kind of look at my mom and see whatever she thinks I should do, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, so what is it like growing up Asian in a predominantly white community?
Oh, gosh. Very disappointing, if I'm being honest. It's just, like I said, I'm from California, and so I knew people of other Asian backgrounds, like Filipino, Japanese, Vietnamese, stuff like that. And growing up in Texas, predominantly white, and I would only see like one or two other Asians or people who look like me, it's just kind of, it's tough because you don't have those connections anymore. Like, I'm not saying that I was I only hung out with Asian people, but it's, you know, it's nice to know that other people share the same background and or culture as you, and that's something you can relate to. But when you're the only one with the Filipino heritage like myself in a class that is predominantly white, and everybody looks at you whenever topic of Asian or Chinese food or, you know, the whole dog eating thing comes up, and everyone's looking at you, it's like, you guys don't get it. You know, yeah. People just don't get how, you know, I get it, it's a joke, but it's not right.
So you've kind of already talked about this a lot, but as someone who's lived in both places, how would you compare the political environment in the South with the environment in the North?
Oh my goodness, people are brutal out here.
that is true.
People are brutal out here. People are more loving. I wouldn't say loving, but, you know, they don't care as much in California. And what I mean by that is if you're gay, that's cool. Obviously, there's going to be homophobes everywhere. But, you know, if it's like, if you're gay, that's cool. Or if you're Black, that's cool. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Out here, it's like, ooh, I'm going to make jokes. Like, unnecessary jokes. And then people will call you out for being racist. And then they'll say, oh, you just can't take a joke. And then it turns into this whole discussion. Like, when you can't call somebody out without being considered a snowflake. I've noticed a lot out here. Yeah.
That is definitely an issue.
Yeah, like even if it's considered like racist or homophobic or whatever, if you say like, oh, I was just kidding, I didn't actually mean it, you just can't take a joke, it's like, no, it's just, you're being mean. You're just being mean. I'm calling you out on your bullshit. That's really it.
Yeah, there's definitely a difference between, you know, a joke has to be funny. If it's not, if it's just offending people, then it's not a joke. It's just being mean.
Yeah, and the whole part I hate so much is like whenever somebody makes an Asian joke and there's like another Asian dude in the back, and I'm like, hey, I didn't like that. Like, that was a little bit racist. And then that one Asian dude's like, I'm Asian and I didn't think that was racist. Like, hold on. We're not just saying that every Asian person has to get offended by it. But if somebody is, like, I feel like we just need to respect each other.
Yeah.
You know, and just because you're also Asian and you didn't get offended by it doesn't mean somebody else won't, you know?
Yeah.
It's just about respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's definitely, you know, as a queer person, obviously I can't relate to your struggles in any way, but there's the same issue with some people saying, oh, you know, like, I'm gay and I didn't find this offensive. Well, you don't speak for the whole community.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I understand in that respect.
Okay. Would you say that your race makes it to where you are less likely to be hired, picked for a team, etc.?
I wouldn't say less likely. I would say that it gives me the advantage considering that the area we live in is predominantly white. And so I haven't had this struggle yet. Fingers crossed I don't. But I've gotten hired at most places that I've applied a job to. I don't know if it's because of, you know, they liked my job interview, I sold it off, or because I'm a minority and that might bring, you know, diversity to the work environment. But yeah. I honestly see it as like an advantage that because I'm a person of color, I can bring that diversity to the work environment. And so it's not just predominantly white. I don't know if every workplace and or CEO or boss is going to view it like that, but that's how I view it as, because that's how colleges think too. So I don't know.
That's really dope.
Yeah.
So would you say that discrimination by individuals is more or less prominent than discrimination by the government? Like, which one would you say do you think is the bigger issue?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Just because, you know, I'm Asian and I can't speak for that on, you know, the government for the Asian race, just because personally I haven't endured any discrimination from the government. I mean, obviously when they said, oh, COVID came from China, I had a lot of people say that I had the Chinese virus, and that when my boyfriend would come and see me, they'd ask him, did your girlfriend give you the China virus? And he would be like, fuck off. And yeah. I guess that's the only form. I wouldn't say the government enforced it. It was just people being stupid and making a fucked up joke out of it.
Yeah.
But like I said, I can't really speak on behalf of the government. I feel like this is a given. They treat every race differently. It's very evident. Yeah. But on behalf of the Asian community, I don't know exactly. Also, I'm still young. Haven't really put myself out there.
Yeah.
But individually, yes, I will speak on that just because I've had my own personal experiences and it sucks, especially, you know, when it comes from people you never thought would say something like that to you. And it's just, at the end of the day, we can only hope that people can be kind and respect one another. And that's really it, you know, just be nice to one another. Just because somebody is different sexuality, a different race, you know, or they're taller or shorter than you, like, that shouldn't affect whether or not you want to be mean or nice to them. You know, just spread kindness, be nice to people. And, you know, everyone's different. Not everyone's going to be the same as you. And at the end of the day, we're all human. We all have the same color blood. You know, we all have feelings and emotions, and that's just it.
For sure.
Yeah. And then next, how do you feel about intersectional theory? Also, alternatively, would you say that the struggles faced by you as an Asian woman are different than that of an Asian man or a white woman?
I will say that, so both my dad and my brother are Asian, and they're Asian men, but they really don't look the part, if I'm being honest, because I obviously, you know, I have the smaller eyes, and, you know, they're a little bit wider, and if you were to take a good look at me, you would say, oh, yeah, she's Asian. But some people think that my dad and my brother are Hispanic, but it's just, you know, that Filipino or mixed gene they got. When I talk to my dad about the discrimination and, you know, the racism I face, you know, when I go to school or in public, I think he's told me that he hasn't really endured as much as I have.
Yeah.
And he's older than me. And so I don't think he, and especially, like I said, he doesn't look as Asian as I do.
Yeah.
My family all, and I, like, we're all related, I promise. We just all don't look alike. My brother, I'm not entirely sure. I haven't heard much from him, but then again, I'm not super close with him. So maybe he tells my mom and dad the stuff, and I just don't know. But compared to a white woman, 100%, 100%. I have so many white friends, and, you know, I'll go out with them, and I'll go, let's say I'm at a party and one of my white friends is there. And this is, like, from a while ago, by the way. Don't go party, guys. We're in a pandemic. this is from
no partying in the pandemic.
No. Yes.
So we were, like, at a party, and both of our boyfriends were there. And, you know, one of the moms, who I guess is really close to our boyfriends, met us. And so I met her first, and she was like, oh, hi. Like, nice to meet you. And it was, you know, it was like, okay. I was just a little bit intimidated, but whatever. And then my white friend, and she's like, oh my gosh, hi. Like, I've heard so much about you. Like, it's so nice to meet you. And I was like, wait a second. The approach she gave me was very different than what she gave my white friend.
Yeah. I don't know. There was no other reason why it should be like that. It was just like, you know, that was straight up racist. Like,
I don't know if it was straight up racist though. Like, I was talking to my boyfriend about it, and I was like, hey babe, like, why did she give her that reaction and not me? Like, I was really confused, and I don't know if there was a difference of relations, or maybe my boyfriend didn't talk as much about me to this woman or anything like that, but I was really, really confused. And yes. And I don't want to, you know, point fingers immediately and say, oh, that's racist, you know, without asking her anything, you know, but it felt like it.
It felt very confusing. And if it feels like it, then, you know, that's still an impact that it makes on you, which is still something important and that should be looked at.
Yeah. And I thought it was so weird because both my boyfriend and I were people of color. And then my other white friend and her boyfriend, you know, they're white. And both our boyfriends, like I said, are close with this woman. I guess they consider her family. And so they wanted us to meet the girlfriends. And, you know, she was just like, she shook my hand and she was like, hi, nice to meet you. And I said, hi. You know, I was trying to be respectful, you know, like, hey, I am Bobby's girlfriend. And then when she meets the other girl, my other friend, it's like, oh my gosh, heard so much about you. Hey, you look so pretty. And I'm just like, oh, I didn't get that. I didn't get that at all. And like I said, I don't want to point fingers and say that was racist. She gave her a better reaction than me. No, it just felt weird because we were both in the same situation, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And cycling back to something you said earlier, you said that your dad expressed that he felt like he hasn't experienced as much discrimination as you. Does that concern you for the younger generation?
You know, I'm not entirely sure. I feel like in order to help the younger generation, if they were to experience racism, you'd have to singly firsthand go through it. Especially whenever I tell my dad that I've experienced a lot of racism, he just tells me to ignore it. And or growing up, obviously, like in the 80s and 90s, it was a very different time by him. But he told me if he ever experienced racism, he'd fight them on sight. So, I mean, obviously, I'm not going to do that now because that's just not who I am.
Your dad was ready to go, man. I respect that. Yeah.
He was ready to be like, you said something? Oh, stop saying stuff, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did mention this briefly earlier. There's been reports of increasing violence towards people who are perceived as Asian since the beginning of this pandemic. Has the COVID-19 pandemic affected how you're treated by others, like friends and other people like that?
Yeah, I've had to tell some of my friends and especially my boyfriend to stop, because obviously I didn't go to China. I'm not Chinese. It's not my fault that I quote unquote started this pandemic. Oh my God, I ate something horrible and now everybody's dying. Like, no, don't blame me for, you know, just things that have happened in this world that we can't control.
For sure.
But yeah, I've definitely had to talk to my boyfriend about it and, you know, just be like, babe, I don't like how your friends are asking you if you've gotten COVID or not, just because you see me. And it's just, it sucks.
Yeah.
Do you feel that at the beginning of the pandemic, the federal government was perpetuating these and kind of fueling the racism against Asian people in the COVID-19 pandemic?
Considering who our president was back then and what he called it, I think he called it, what did he call it? The China flu, or like...
Yeah, the Chinese virus, the China flu.
Oh, just, yeah.
That's horrible, horrible it. Things like that.
Yeah. Considering who our president was at the time and, you know, what kind of energy he enforces, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Gave off very, you know, racist and negative energy. Like, first of all, nobody called it the Chinese flu or the China virus. They have a specific name for it. It's called coronavirus and or COVID-19. And so when you have a man in power like that and somebody who enforces hate and or like racist slurs, I wouldn't necessarily say it was a racist slur, but it was not okay to say the least.
Yeah.
To say that, especially to make that public to like millions of people who, you know, watch him and keep up with him. As him who was our president at the time, I definitely think that he promotes hate. He doesn't bring people together. He pushes people apart. So then now people who support him and or follow him are like, because, you know, we're not the Americans aren't the brightest people. So if they really like someone, they're going to
say that again.
Everything they say. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They really like someone. They're going to listen to everything they have to say. And, you know, if he tells them that all Chinese people have COVID-19, everybody who loves and listens to that president is going to believe him. Because it's like saying your teacher tells you that all Chinese people are bad. Okay, your teacher told me, it must be true. You know what I mean? It's the
like
same logic. Yeah, it's like the same logic that applies. And so people was not using their brains, obviously, will assume that every Chinese person in America all of a sudden has COVID-19, not knowing how science works, but make it make sense.
Yeah, blind faith is a powerful thing.
Yeah,
for sure.
For sure.
I don't know if you heard of this, but there was recently an issue with a Washington school district classifying Asian students as white to buff up their stats. What's your opinion on this?
Oh, I think it's ridiculous. No, it's ridiculous. The term white doesn't necessarily mean pale. Doesn't necessarily mean lacking of melanin. It means you hold this image. You hold this privilege.
You're of European descent. You are Caucasian. Yes.
And if anybody knows their goddamn history, Great Britain basically ruled the world at one point, and the sun never sets
in the British Empire.
Yes. And that is why there are so many white people in this world, and why they have the privilege that they do, is because when they took over all these all these countries with people of color in it, they were looked as the superior, and how they looked was the reason why they were given this privilege. And it's like, oh, like, let's say in India, they were ruled by Great Britain for a very long time. And, you know, I'm sure like an Indian mother and her son at one point were like, hey, we can't do that. Do you see what we look like? We don't look like them. And so for people to say that Asians are going to be considered white passing now. No, we have very different features. Asians come in all colors, all backgrounds. Like, I'm half Filipino. Like, my Filipino side of the family, they are so tan. They have a lot of brown and we use the term chocolate chip cookie. They have like a chocolate chip cookie shade going on. Like, and then some of my other Filipino families, you know, they're a lot lighter than others. But we all come in a range. So if you mean to tell me that if somebody who is Filipino was at that school, you said Washington, and, you know, they're obviously, they look like a person of color because they have more tan skin. Let's say maybe even dark hair. I don't know. They could have dyed it. We're just going to assume they have their natural hair color still. But, and you want to say, okay, fill out this chart, put your name, address, and race and or ethnicity, and you put Asian. For Filipino, I put Asian Island Pacific, wait, what was the term?
API, yeah.
Yeah, that's the term. And then they would just straight up look at you and say, no, you're white. And that kid would just be like, no.
Yeah.
No, right? It's invalidating somebody's identity, you know, for a school to do that, you're invalidating them and you're trying to justify why they're not who they are.
For sure.
I don't think it's right.
So would you say, and this is kind of the culmination of everything we've asked so far, it can just be a yes or no with a little bit of extra onto it. Does your race impact your daily life?
Yes. But in a funny way. I mean, I basically eat Asian food every day. But honestly, yeah, it does in a way. I try not to, but I can't help it. You know, when I go out, you know, when I go to work, you know, people ask me, what are you? And I don't take offense to it. You know, people are just curious. But definitely there is the factor that my race will play into everyday life.
For sure. How can non-Asian individuals combat racism?
Honestly, speak up. It doesn't hurt, you know, be kind and support and respect one another. If you see that somebody is making fun of somebody because they're Asian, call them out on it. Be like, hey, dude, that's not right.
Yeah.
It costs $0 and 0 cents to be nice to people and to support and respect one another. I feel like that's really all our country needs right now is just kindness and, you know, to respect one another.
Absolutely.
We really lack in that area. Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. And then one last question to kind of just wrap everything up. What is something that you want to tell non-Asian individuals?
Hey, not all Chinese people eat dog, and not all Asians are Chinese. There are several countries in Asia, and India is one of them, just FYI. So next time you think about making fun of someone because they're Asian and, oh my God, they might have COVID, chances are probably don't. But I can't say that for everybody because, you know, this pandemic is unpredictable. And, yeah, it's hitting everybody. So I'm just saying, don't assume. Just don't assume. Don't assume for any Asian race. You know, don't.
For sure.
Just be nice. Just spread kindness. Be respectful. That's all I got to say. I don't promote hate. I don't promote no violence. Just be nice. Cost $0, by the way. It's free.
Ooh. It's free. It's free to be kind.
Ooh.
Well, thank you so much for being on today, Lexi. We appreciate
thank you guys for having me. Bye.
This has been On Your Left with MJ Kelly
and Aiden Cox,
and we can't wait to see you back here next week for next week's episode, Black Revolutionaries.
Bye.